signs that say MMA across the top of them, not the MMA fighting thing, but the massive multi-ambassador mode that we are going to be talking about today. Just a little something from, do we got, that's up there, good. All right, a little something from the world of video games. Last week we talked about a massive battle arena that we are all a part of when we come to Christ. This week we're going to talk a little bit about what it's like to actually live out this whole ambassador type of role that we have been called into. And so if you've got your outlines and you've got your Bibles, you're going to want to have those handy as well. We are going to dive right in because, let me swallow my gum. We are only one day from VBS. One day, tomorrow, this place is going to be packed out with kids, and the whole place is going to be renovated this afternoon and into this evening. We're going to be doing all kinds of decorating and getting this entire place ready. Some of the decoration you see is just a fraction of what's going to happen. This place is about to be converted. We are going to continue today in preparing for the excitement and kind of the just overwhelmingness of our VBS time. In previous weeks, we've been preparing by going through each day of what VBS is about. And now we are at the fifth Sunday of that, which is our fifth day. It's the Friday of VBS. And so let me just review real quick. 1, 2, 3, 4, right there in your outline, letter B, of where we have been so far. First, what? God has made us for relationship, right? He's made us for relationship with each other, but also and especially he's made us for relationship with him. He explains this through the Word of God, the Bible, which we can have confidence in, that what we read has actually come from the words that God himself has breathed out. Then we talked about God the Father sending his Son, Jesus Christ, as the perfect sacrifice for all of the sin and the things that hopelessly separate us from God, that he is the provision, the only bridge for a relationship between God and mankind. When God saves a person, he does not leave them powerless and alone. We talked about this last week. God knits our soul together with his Spirit to develop fruitful character qualities. That's the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians. And also gives us powerful gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, we are given powerful giftedness, which is diverse in the body. Everybody's gifted in different ways so that we would come together as a whole and be able to serve God in the ways that he has equipped us for. And we talked a whole lot about, right at the very end last week, that if we find that we've got kind of a power outage, instead of powering up, instead of feeling like, yeah, I'm really conquering this thing, I'm really going after this thing, there's a very good chance that when we feel that way, it is because we have gotten off mission and maybe become focused on what we feel like are good things, but they can be distracting things. We can often get overly involved in just what's going on inside of the walls of the church and forget that we're supposed to be actively displaying the light of Jesus into darkness. We can get overly involved taking care of our homes or our families, both good things. But when we get too focused on those things, they begin to take precedent from reaching out to our neighbors, from taking care of those that are around us. All of those kinds of things were the great challenge of being people that live not only as saved people that are part of the church, but also as ambassadors. Ambassadors that are empowered by the Holy Spirit and given the fruitful character. Now that's universal. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is universal. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all that. That's a universal truth. But the giftings, those are diverse. Which means we share in the fruitful character of God. But we also work together to accomplish the things that God has for us. That's kind of a bit of what VBS is like. Everybody's kind of doing different things. Everybody's bringing their giftedness to the table. But what are we revealing to kids? We're revealing to them the character and the goodness of God. This is what God does when he saves us. He does not just save us for us. He blesses us so that we then in turn can bless others, which always brings up a problem, doesn't it? What about my sin? What about the fact that I'm a failure sometimes? I feel hypocritical talking to my neighbor. I was out in my backyard and I was doing some work and the tool got away from me, hit me in the head, the forehead, the knee and the foot, and I started swearing and my neighbor came over and I was a mess and now I'm supposed to share Christ with the guy? I was acting like an idiot. I had friends over and a bunch of people drank too much and I drank too much and how am I supposed to talk about Jesus to people when I've got issues in my own life? I mean, I'm not perfect. How can I represent Christ? How can I say anything when I just come off like a hypocrite? So I want to invite you into something and I want to encourage you. This is not just a talk that is meant to encourage us as we head towards communion today. It's also meant to remind those of you that are working with VBS this week that part of powering up is the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, but that there is a context to that, and that context is God's church. God's church, His church, the church that as its head is Jesus Christ. That we belong to Jesus, and as being members of the family of the kingdom of God, we have been called into the church. A lot of times, we get saved, and it's almost like someone hands us a spiritual machete and says, well, there's the jungle out there. Good luck. I hope you know how to share your faith. I hope you learn a whole lot about other groups that believe different things. You're going to need a lot of answers. Store up, because when you go out there, it's a battle and you're on your own. That was never, ever the intention. Let's not communicate that to kids. Let's not communicate to the kids that we're going to work with. Let's not communicate that to them. Let's communicate that we are a family. And that you belong to a family, and that you are always a part of that family, that the name of that family, that the name of God that He has written onto us by His Holy Spirit, that name is carried with you everywhere that you go. You are not alone. You, yes, will fail, but you know what the great news is? You are in a group of failures, right? We all fail. We've all got good days, bad days. We've all got days where we wake up and we think, oh, God, thank you for the breath that is in my lungs. I just want to praise you. And then you wake up on other days where you just, God is the furthest thing from your mind. You are just hoping to get your feet out of bed and step down onto the floor without pain. It's different, right? Is you just have a different mindset on some mornings. In the midst of all of those things, I sometimes think about this when I read the scriptures. Have you ever wondered, like, why Jesus had his disciples? Why were they there? I mean, don't you think Jesus could have gotten a lot more done without the 12 of them towed along? I mean, don't you think he could have had a clearer message without having to deal with Peter? Don't you think he could have gotten more done if he had to have been held back by Judas? I mean, there's so many interesting questions when we read the scriptures. Sometimes we read them and we've been at it since we were children, and we just don't ask ourselves these questions, like, why? Why would he go about doing it the way that he did it, and why did he pick those guys, and why does it play out the way that it does? I was wondering this as I was just writing. Have you wondered why Jesus had disciples? Was he bored? Did he need friends? Did he just love camping outside with his buddies? In actuality, the Bible says that Jesus chose the 12 disciples because he was establishing a group of Christ-following people, a gathering, an assembly of Christ-following people to become the church. It says in Matthew 16:18, right after Peter has declared, for the very first time, that he's declared, You are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God. Jesus turns to Peter and says, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock, that was a play on his name, by the way, on this rock, in other words, on your name, I will build my church. I'm going to build my church, and it will be built with you. The idiot in the group, right? I will build my church because of this declaration that you've made. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is one of the first times that we see church, a gathering of believers mentioned in the scriptures. This was the purpose when Jesus heard them declare the truth that he was the Christ. And by the way, in the next verse or so, he says, please don't tell anyone. That's not because he was like, you know, super like, I want to keep a secret. That was not it. He did not want them representing him. How's that? He just didn't want them telling people, hey, we're with the Christ. And then they ask him one follow-up question and the whole thing goes right down the drain. And so Jesus was like, hey, let me kind of set this up before you guys go telling people about it. And so he asked for their confidence in that. He was establishing something that would live past himself, and he named it, or he called it, the church, or this interesting assembly. Jesus never intended, in other words, for you and I to go it alone. It says in John 14, 27, as Jesus is praying with his disciples right before he leaves, he says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. In other words, I know that I am going to the cross, and they were experiencing an extremely traumatic moment in their friendship, in their discipleship with Jesus Christ. They were in a bit of a panic because Jesus tells them time and time again, I'm leaving you peacefully. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. You're going to be okay. I know this seems like everything's going down the tubes, but it's all right. This has been the plan from the very start. Do you ever feel that way? What is going on, God? How could this be happening? Everything is falling apart. This is total chaos. Some of you are going to feel that tomorrow. Tomorrow you will feel that. You'll stand in here, you'll have like 30 kids all staring at you wanting to know what to do, and you're not going to have any idea, and you're going to think to yourself, God, you chose the wrong person. God, you're not supposed to have me here. Jesus Christ consistently says to his disciples whenever they were panicking, my peace I leave with you. It was never Jesus' intention that we would be alone or that we would be lonely. I've said it many times. The Bible never intends for people to be alone or to feel lonely. Rather, we are supposed to have peace because of our unity with Christ. Jesus, letter B, of number two, was leading something revolutionary. That revolution was the new commandment that he gave, that we love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So what is the mark of discipleship? This is what Jesus Christ said we are to be about. This is what his church was set up for, was to make disciples. How do we make disciples? We love one another, and we do so in a way that can be displayed. It's not just loving one another in secret. It's loving one another in a way that is displayed to those that are around us, even to the point of giving us the confidence to be able to step out and love people that do not yet understand or know the love of God. We can actually reach out to them in the name of Christ, but we do so from a base. We do so from a connection to what Jesus Christ established, which is the church. It was the church that Jesus said was going to stand against the gates of hell, not you. Not me. It's his church of which he is the head and we are a part. And we are identified as this church, not because we come into a building, not because we belong to a local assembly, but rather by the commandment of loving one another and displaying that love for the world to see. This was revolutionary. And it would organically connect all Christ's followers everywhere. Jesus Christ prayed just a couple of chapters later in the book of John. As he was praying for his disciples, he said, I do not ask for just these, the now 11 disciples that were with him, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That is you and me. That they may all be one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, that they also may be in us. so that the world may believe that you have sent me. When you consume communion today, you take in the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. This is a physical representation of a spiritual reality, that Christ is in you and that you belong to him. You literally are consuming the juice and the bread as a symbol of taking in Christ and being nourished by Christ. Christ in us in him. We are living out this organic connection that exists between all Christ followers. This was revolutionary, rooted in love and with the intention that you would never be alone. Not just never be alone because you have the Holy Spirit, but I mean never be alone in what you're doing in your Christian life. That your Christian life, by definition, is to be shared with those that are around you. Do not represent to children that you need to get all kind of squared away so that you yourself could stand under all the pressure of the enemy, and you could stand under all the pressure of the homes that we're going to send kids back into, and you could stand under all the pressure that you feel at school. No one is ever supposed to bear those things by themselves. We are called into the church, and by definition, it's a community of love where everybody is gifted differently, and we are drawn by the character given to us by the Holy Spirit together to display the love of God to the world that is around us. Jesus established a group called out and adopted by God through the precious blood of Jesus Christ and secured for eternity by the power of the Holy Spirit. That, by the way, is the definition of what the church is right there in letter C. You could put next to it, definition of the church. It is the group or an assembly. It is literally a group called out. That's what the word literally means. Part of it means called out. Part of it means out from. A group that is called out from the world for God. Left in the world for God. We are sanctified, separated from the world for the purposes of God, but left in the world for the purposes of God. This is, by definition, who we are. A group of people that have been called out by God, adopted into the family of God through the precious blood of Jesus, 1 Peter 1:18 to 21, secured for eternity, secured, sealed, held, safe by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit that dwells in you and speaks to you the very words of Jesus Christ as you study and learn the scriptures. The Spirit is given voice in your life. And not alone, not on your own, not by yourself. Study together, live together, share life together, share about your sins together, it says in the book of James chapter 5. Now wait a minute. I'll confess my sins to God, but I'm not confessing them to you. Hey, I guarantee you confess your sins to one another, that is a person who wants to get rid of sin and fill their lives with obedience. When you bring that stuff out into the light, it means I'm so weak, I'm so miserable, I'm so burdened by what I'm dealing with, I have to confess it. I got to get it out. Quit living as though you are an island, as though you stand with Frank Sinatra in hell saying, I did it my way. I don't know. I mean, thankfully the scriptures say that we do not judge, which is good for me. I did it my way. I am the independent man that does not share his life with anybody. I just kind of do it my way. Could I call you something better? And I don't say better just because, like, I like people. And so, you know, some of you are introverted and you're like, I don't want to do this. And you know, different personalities. I don't mean it that way. I mean, this is what God chose so that hell could be conquered. I'm not asking you to be part of something better just because, you know, oh, this is a better idea than just being an isolated you know, individual, you must be lonely. I mean it in the sense of, no, this is what God chose. He chose it for a reason. Do you know what some of those reasons are? Because I listed them. Christ followers established churches. Notice that I put churches as a small c. That's like our church. Our church is a small c. The big church is all the churches everywhere and throughout all of history. All of those that belong to God's family, right? In the Bible, that's called the church in the broadest sense. We are a small expression of the timeless and universal church. You know, the word universal has another name. You know what that name is? Catholic. That's what that word means. Catholic means universal. Now, if it's got a big C, what are we talking about? We're talking about the Catholic Church, like the one that's established, like St. Cornelius or St. Jude or St. whatever. Those are Catholic big C churches because they're part of a organization called the Catholic Church. That's not what the Bible's talking about. When it says Catholic Church, it's talking about all believers in all places throughout all of history. The universal church. Sometimes you'll read old documents, old statements of faith, and it'll say something about the Holy Catholic Church. And you're like, I don't go to a Catholic church, so I don't have to pay any attention to something like that. That's not what it means. They're using it in the old-fashioned sense of universal. I want to encourage you, just because you're part of a Protestant church, you know, what's at the heart of Protestant? Protest. We're gonna go do things our own way. We're going to set up the 14th Baptist Church of Long Beach kind of thing, right? It's like we don't agree with the way that they say their prayers, and so we're going to start our own. That's at the heart of Protestant. That's at the heart of Protestantism. And we are a part of, you know, a Protestant church that came out of protest that was so many hundreds of years ago that we don't even probably know what was being protested in the first place. But in that DNA, I just want to encourage you, we are part of something bigger. There are churches all around this area that preach the gospel. They might do their worship a little different, or they might have a different style and what they kind of approach it like. And some churches are really, really big. You know, I've heard some of you go, I can't go to Cottonwood, or I can't go to Arbor Road because it's too many people. Too many people. I just get lost. And some of you, you know, little tiny churches, you're like, oh, it's too few people. It's everybody's in everybody's business. So, we're kind of that middle church, good family, that kind of thing. And so, but some people are like, oh, not enough going on. Where's the young adults group? Well, we've got like, you know, six of them. And so it's hard to build a group around that. And, you know, they're mad. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm sorry if you're a young adult. But then they go to a big church and it's like, whoa, look at this. It's like a dating thing, but with Jesus in it. And boom, right? You know. We laugh, but it's true. All kinds of different, smaller expressions of church, but we are part of a universal church. We are part of something that is way, way bigger than Long Beach Alliance. We are part of what God is doing in the universe. I don't mean just in the world. I mean in the universe. Churches exist to encourage and equip Christ-following people, and I hope that's you, to reveal God's glory in the universe. I stopped off at John 17, but I want to point out to you in Ephesians chapter 1, what some of these verses are that talk about the church in Christ, in Him. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He has lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. This is talking about our identity, and it would be very easy to just think, oh, well, that's what it's all about. It's where I sit with Jesus Christ. Don't get me wrong, that's crucial. But look what the purpose is later in the book. So that God could bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, hold on to these verses, please, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom, that means the like the multicolorful, all the facets of the diamond, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities on earth? Nope. Look what it says there. You are part of a church that is revealing the multifaceted wonder of the wisdom of God to rulers and authorities in heavenly places. In other words, in the universe. You are making a statement of God's wisdom to the universe. I mean, you got to be kidding me, right? I get out of bed in the morning. That is not what I'm thinking. It's hard for me to grab hold of something like this, which is exactly why we need one another. How easy is it to wander away from Christ when you are on your own? How many of us wanting to wander away from Christ just simply do so by doing what? Being on our own. How many of us, when isolated or with others that share some of the same issues that we do, find ourselves in situations where rather than confessing our sin, we embrace our sin and we just get swallowed up by it? I am calling you to a different kind of thinking and living. I'm calling you into God's church, which can withstand the gates of hell, which would include anything temptation-wise, difficulty-wise, struggle-wise that you or I might encounter. This is according to what? The eternal purpose that God has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. We sang about it this morning, that we can enter in, we can come boldly. I was singing that this morning and I was just thinking to myself, oh, how difficult it is, how difficult it can be when our hearts are in messy places for us to boldly walk in and approach the throne. Is that you this morning? Could I plead with you? Don't live another minute like that. You are part of something grand and great beyond your wildest comprehension. God has chosen you by name to be part of his church, to speak his wisdom to the universe. He has chosen you. He has called your name out for that. That is wonderful. You belong to God. You are welcomed into the throne room. Shed the things that hold you back. Return again to the body and the blood of Jesus Christ this morning. Be reminded that you belong to him and to nothing and to no one else. Why does he share these things? I ask you to not lose heart over what I am suffering for you, because it is to your glory. He says in other parts to not lose heart over what they are suffering. To not lose heart. How easy is it to lose heart? Sometimes that happens because we are just knocked down by circumstances. Most of the time it happens because we are just simply dulled to death, aren't we? We just go through the motions of our life and it kind of dulls us to the things of God. How do we prevent that kind of thing? Share spiritual life with other people. God gave us his Holy Spirit, but he gave it to us in the context of the church. Do you feel like there's a power outage in your life? Could I invite you into the midst of his church? This is what he has chosen so that it could withstand the gates of hell. Many of us decide to live our lives, whoop, outside of it. We decide to just kind of live independently of it. I remember when I was a kid, coming to church regularly, that was an every week experience. I can't tell you the number of people I bump into at Starbucks that I see here at the church once every, 4 to 6 weeks. And they'll tell their friends, this is my pastor. I go to that church. And I'm like, you go to our church? You're here like 6 times a year. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not kicking people out. It's not mine to do. But I also think, you know what? If you go to church, go to church. Be here. Be a part. Invest something. God didn't create the church through 12 nincompoops, one of which bails. I mean, he didn't establish the church through the disciples so that we could just kind of have a social club. He did so to withstand the gates of hell. And oftentimes we do not hide. We do not hide our lives and our hearts with other Christ-following people. The Bible warns against this. It calls us to unity with each other, to live life with each other, to be in family with each other, to be with other confessing people. And by confessing, I mean we are a confessing church. We confess Jesus Christ as Lord. We confess that to the world around us. We display that in the way that we live. We confess it through baptism. I point back here just in case you're not aware. We have a big jacuzzi tank up there, and we baptize people in it a couple times a year. We'll baptize you anytime you want. Anytime you want, we will baptize you. We will fill that thing with water, and we will put you under and raise you up, and it will be a picture of dying to the old and being raised to the new. We confess publicly Jesus Christ is Lord. We take communion every single month. That's a confessing church thing to do. We confess the body and the blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, is what saves and forgives and provides relationship with God. We are a confessing church that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. Churches like ours exist to promote inspiration, worship, obedience, and encouragement. Look at that list. Is that a picture of the life you are experiencing? If it is not, I do not want you to go, you know what, I need to find a different church. I got to go to a church that's got more of that stuff going on. Hey, 99.9% of the churches that are in this area that we live in that are preaching the gospel have all of these things. What I'm looking for are individuals that will invest in this in the life of church people. Why? Because we're a family. And in any family, everybody has to have a significant role. If you don't have a significant role in your family, you know what you think to yourself? I don't matter. That's why so many teenagers at home whose biggest responsibility is to take out the trash kind of go, I mean, I don't really matter. If I'm gone, someone's going to take out the trash. It's so different than the way it used to be. Some of you that are older grew up in the Midwest. You grew up on farms. You grew up in homes where if you didn't get up and you didn't do your chores, the family didn't eat. Now, see, that matters, doesn't it? If you don't put food on the table and people can't eat, what happens? People begin to ask questions. They get concerned. They get angry about it because that matters. Hey, in this church, you matter. You matter to God. We cannot do this without you. And if we are doing it without you, it means we're walking with a limp. It means that we're trying to reach out and we're missing fingers. It means that we are crippled in some way. I am calling you to the confession of Christ in baptism and communion, and I want you to invest in a church that is here to inspire, worship, obey, and encourage believing followers of Christ. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised it is faithful. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. By the way, that word consider, is not just a mental thing. It's like you don't consider it and go, I bet you that would help. I'm out. You know, that kind of thing. The idea there is how can I creatively help that person to walk with the Lord? How could I set them up for success? How many of us in the church have been brought up in a world where it's like if you confess your sin, you just get hammered for it. And people are brutal towards you. Consider how to usher someone into a good relationship with Jesus, not out of it. This is not a guilt-inducing, hammer-you-down kind of group. It's a family where we love each other through the good and the bad. How can I creatively set you up to experience love and good works or good deeds in your life, not neglecting to meet together? Please hear this. If you're one of those six time of years, I'm so excited you're here because I know that most of them aren't. I know I'm preaching to the choir right now. please do not neglect being here. Do not neglect your church. This is not Chris Lankford's church. This is not the elders' church. This is Jesus' church. He is the head of this place. We, together as a family, we are a part of something that he has established. And he brought us together to pronounce the manifold wisdom of God to the universe, and so that this thing that we are a part of would stand against the gates of hell. I can't do that by myself. You can't do that by yourself. We can only do it the way that God has designed it, and that is together. And then he promises that he will not leave us alone in the midst of it, that he will give us his Holy Spirit to powerfully work within us and to give us collectively the character of God. The character of God that is so often elusive to us. But I guarantee you, I tell couples all the time that are in premarital with me and struggling with, you know, going too far. Some of you know what that phrase means. And that kind of thing. I tell them, would you ever go too far if your dad was in the room? You see him like they're falling over in their chair. No, never. I would never struggle with that. Good, be around other people. Could I say the same thing to the rest of you? Do you struggle with sin? Do you struggle with issues in your life? Do you got stuff that you just know, if I'm going to grow in Christ, it's never going to happen unless this thing gets solved in my life. I guarantee you, if you are around other people, if you share those things with other people, if you will allow the risk of exposing that to somebody else out of obedience to Christ, I guarantee you, those things will have less control and less of a hold on you in your life. God has called us to these things, and he did so not just so that we could all be cozy with each other and be like, oh man, I just feel I'm so known by you. Oh, it's so thrilling to have this great connection with you. That's not it. It's because he's speaking his wisdom to the universe. It's because he's displaying his glory through the church. It's so that we can reflect him to the world that is around us. It is so that the gates of hell will be defeated. This has eternal impact. You and me confessing Jesus in everything that we do through his church. This is what power up really means. That's what our theme is for VBS this coming week. This is what power up is really all about. It is staying connected. It's learning that God loves us and has relationship with us, that he has revealed himself through his word, that he has provided his son, Jesus, that he has reached out to us and not left us alone in the Holy Spirit, and that he has connected us one to another and to his spirit through the church for the purposes that are beyond our wildest comprehension. What it really means to power up for the kids that are going to walk in this room tomorrow morning is what it really is going to mean to them is whether or not the leaders that are around them, whether the church they're connected to, whether this VBS is really a power-up station, or if secretly people are just faking it. Because you can fake it on the outside, but you can't fake spiritual things. And if you're faking spiritual things, it has spiritual impact. And you know who it's going to have spiritual impact on? Children. So even if you don't have the wherewithal this morning to get it together and bend your knee and ask God for forgiveness and welcome Him back into the center of your life, even if you don't have a care in the world for yourself, could I call you into what Jesus calls us into, which is His church? He calls us to not just do it for ourselves, but to do it for each other, to actually consider others as more important than ourselves. And by living that way, you are living in a way that says, you know what? The church is my eternal family. I'm investing in a future that I can't even see yet. This is what it means to power up. Unity in Christ and unity in His church. These are the theme verses, and I will close on this before I ask Scott Slade to come and lead us in communion. It is His divine power that has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who has called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. And in these things you see relationship, the Word, the provision of Jesus Christ, all that we have in the Holy Spirit, and the promise that this church, and all other gospel-preaching churches, this church under the name of Jesus Christ will stand against the very gates of hell. It is a promise made to you by Jesus. And you will live to see it. You who belong to Jesus will live to see it. Let's celebrate that. Let's confess that this morning as we come to this time of communion.